This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
The topic is hearing loss today, but I first want to find out more about yourself. Let me start off with you, Michelle. Tell us more about yourself. Where are you coming from?
Pani, I come from Port Elizabeth. I studied medical technology, and we relocated to Cape Town in 1982 through my husband's work, and Candace came along in 1984. But I gave up medical technology as it was very demanding. We had to work night shift, weekends, and call. And having a child with a disability like hearing loss demanded all our attention.
Yeah, that's important. Candace, hear what your mom said. You are a person with hearing loss. Tell us more about yourself.
Thank you, Bonnie. My name is Candace, and I was born with a profound hearing loss since birth. And I work for the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities.
National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities. But I think both of you work remotely. Tell us more about that, Michelle.
I work remotely. We work in the hearing loss department, and we do raise awareness for persons with for hearing disabilities. And we focus on various projects. And one of the projects which was very close to my heart with World Hearing Day this year is early detection.
Yeah.
And newborn screenings. And we can say thanks to that we detected Candace's hearing loss so early, and she had her hearing aid since 8 months old.
Now, tell us more about your work, Candace.
Well, my job description encourages me to find information like emailing the churches, emailing the audiologists, and emailing members that we have for association with
persons with disabilities.
Yeah.
All the different associations.
Yeah. That's what you're keeping yourself busy daily.
Yes.
To build a database.
Yes.
So that you, in the office of the National Council, that's now in Cape Town, can reach out to people, give information through to society. Michelle, I believe there's a lot of information that you give through to the society about hearing loss.
We do. And we really rely on we rely a lot on social network to get them information across, to raise awareness, and that is what Candace and Erica do. They do a lot of that. Erica does a lot of interviews. And so there's a lot of work. We are busy with a project for churches to help them be aware of the needs of persons and what their reasonable accommodation is. And to do loop systems, we really want to encourage the churches and public spaces to have loop systems.
Yeah, we're going to discuss this issue of what assistive devices are available. The situation in the Western Cape is there's a lot of people with hearing loss in the Western Cape. Nationally, we talk about 12 million people affected by hearing loss. And from that 12 million, approximately 4 to 5 million are persons with a hearing disability. We will chat a little bit later about what is the prevalence of hearing loss in the Western Cape. But this discussion later in our program. My two guests are Candace Marais and Michelle Tonks. Michelle is a mother of a child, Candace, and she's a person with hearing loss, and I'm so happy. And it's wonderful. It's a privilege to have you here today in our program, Community Matters. I'm finding the tour, and it's now time for music, and then we come back. Stay tuned. It's our program Community Matters here on Cape Pulpit. My two guests are Michelle Tonks and Candace Marais. And as explained, it is today, or this month actually, we focus strongly on hearing loss in our country, especially also in the Western Cape province. Michelle, you referred to early childhood. You referred to Candace, the young age you discovered that she's a person with a hearing disability. Tell us more about, from a mom's perspective, what was your experience at the time?
Bonnie, as I mentioned, Candace has had hearing aids since 8 months old. We chose the method that she would learn to speak. We use the oral method of communication rather than sign language. So she attended Carl de Toy, the parent guidance division, which was amazing. And they encourage, we used to go every week, and they have a program that also involves the broader family, the grandparents. So my late parents were very involved, as was my late in-laws. So it, everybody has to understand hearing loss. It is very difficult because not everybody understands it. Not family, not all the family, not all the friends understand hearing loss. So Candace attended Coral de Toy and for preschool, and then went to Mary Kine. But we would need a whole week to discuss and the challenges at school.
No.
Even although it was a school for the deaf, there was a lot of, I sometimes think that there was, at that stage, I mean, I'm talking about 35 years ago, maybe not all the teachers were accomplished to understand hearing loss at that stage. And the child psychologist, who the educational psychologist from the school, actually told me that my child was mildly mentally retarded,
sure,
and not educatable.
Oh.
And that came from the school psychologist. I think had I known then what I know now,
yeah,
things would have been very different. But I thank God each day that we never took that for granted. We carried on as normal. We did nothing. We just carried on. We just carried on educating her, doing our best, extra lessons, extra maths, extra English. Mm. So it was not an easy, her schooling wasn't easy. They put in a special class, they closed the special class, and then we had to mainstream her. So it was difficult. It certainly wasn't an easy road.
Just a question from my side. If you put a child with a disability or a hearing disability for this matter in a mainstream class without the necessary support, that's really challenging.
Very challenging.
And the teachers,
very challenging.
Teachers must be sensitized, especially in mainstream schools, on how to accommodate that child.
Well, you know, finally, everybody talks about inclusive education, and I just hope today it is better than it was 30-odd years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's not only the teachers that don't understand it, it's the children. So you have a class of children, one has a disability, and the others don't have any disabilities.
Yeah.
So that's challenging on the bullying side, on not understanding. So, so then after Candace finished at the mainstream school, we sent her to a Christian school where once again it was extremely challenging.
Yeah.
But eventually she got through, and we did, once she finished, she didn't do a matric because the school, the government closed the school at that time.
Yeah, we're going to discuss
a
little bit later about the college years. But if I may come back to you, Candace, you listen now what your mother say about you being a child and you're in this situation in the school. What was your experience? What can you remember?
I remember being bullied and being teased and being called deaf girl when I was at the school. And I only had a very small group of friends, which was comfortable enough for me. And if my one close friend was not close with me, I would sometimes be targeted by the bullies if she wasn't there. But when she was there, I was fine. And as I got older, I got used to the bullying, and I just kind of like just let it phase over me because it is what it is. And I just got to the message where people will eventually feel bad for themselves when they get older. So,
yeah, that's very heartbreaking. I think, Michelle, from a parent's perspective, I think you've picked it up at that time.
You know, Fani, Candace actually, she didn't really tell us because I think she was nervous to tell us that she was being bullied because maybe she realized that we would have done something and then the situation was worse. So it was difficult. One of the things I remember that she never always heard, especially when she was at the mainstream school, she never heard over the intercom that the sport was cancelled or it was going to be Civvies Day. And it was heartbreaking to go to school and all the children were in civvies and my child was in a uniform because she didn't know that it was Civvies Days. It was things like that. Or she had supposed to have sport that afternoon and I would get to the school maybe 4 o'clock and she was sitting outside on her own because the sport had been cancelled.
Candace, this lack of communication and information, that is the main issue here. And I believe you experience this now from a very young age. Listening to what your mother say, was it a challenge for you to cope in this situation with not always being informed what's going on, because simply because people is not communicating that with you?
Yeah, I do agree with what my mom has said, and I firmly stand by that they should actually inform persons with disabilities. So if I have to think back now, I think the correct way of going forward for a mainstream school is to actually have a notice message on the board or in the classroom at least, so that if the person with a hearing loss disability does not hear the message on the intercom, they will at least see the notification in the classroom or on a notice board.
Or more interactive communication by means of text, Michelle, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I think today it's better with technology, because they can inform the parents via WhatsApp, which is wonderful. But if we think what the struggles were back then, there was no cell phones available. I mean, only much later. But the children today are allowed to have their cell phones at school, which would also make it a lot easier for children if in the situation to contact their parents.
My guest is Candace Marie, a person with a hearing disability, and her mother, Michelle Tonks. Thank you so much for coming in and share your story, because it's important that we must understand the challenges that people face. And even today, there's also a lack of interaction and communication. We can chat to this about a little bit later. Michelle, a personal question. Now, you see your child at school, your child is struggling a lot. What happens with your husband? Was he involved? What is his reaction? Does daddy want to protect his daughter, I believe?
Yes, daddy still wants to protect his daughter, even now that she's 40. So I think my husband traveled a lot. So he was really, he was away a lot. So it was all really on my shoulders. And if I look at, in general, with fathers today that have children with disabilities, I sometimes think they're in denial.
Yeah.
I think the most of the moms have to take on the task of the child, where daddy just wants to protect and keep the child, you know, shielded from everything.
Yeah.
And I think that also, you know, it's not always good for the child, because I think now how we protected Candace. Still today, you know, when people used to talk to her, they used to talk to me and not to her. Yeah. So I would answer. So many times she still at this age relies on me to answer for her.
Yeah,
so I think parents with children with disabilities have that internal protection.
Yeah. And all it is about communication in this case. I mean, it's not the physical access that people can get into a building. There's a ramp and a wheelchair goes in. It's an issue of ongoing being challenged in terms of communication, misunderstandings, and what's on the plate on that specific day. My guests is Candace Marais and Michelle Tonks. Thank you so much for sharing your life. From a parent's perspective, you have this wonderful, beautiful child with a disability, with a hearing disability, and now you are searching for tertiary education. I think you can write a book on this.
I can really write a book, Fani, on this. We noted from a young age, Candace was very, children gravitated towards her. I think that was because they didn't judge her, and they didn't demand anything from her. So we would go to the beach, and she would have all these little children around her, and she would be showing them all everything in the pools, etc. And so we decided to send her on a au pair course, so to see if she enjoyed that, because, you know, she was often asked to look after the neighbors' children, etc. And she enjoyed that, so we enrolled her for early childhood development. So it was difficult because there was no reasonable accommodations. But also, I didn't know then what I know now.
Yes.
And that was the difficulty. What were the assistive devices? She had her hearing aids. And I was told that her hearing aids is, you know, it's fine. I thought they were like a pair of glasses.
Tell me more about that, because that's a big issue. Is that people think that hearing aids is just like glasses? Tell
Fani,
us more.
I fully agree. I learned what I met you in 2012 at one of your workshops, and it was absolutely amazing. Those 2 days taught me more about my child with a profound hearing loss. than I had met from learned from anybody in 27 years. The fact that you told me about that, how what the accommodations that you needed, how a lip speaker, a lip reader, you know, all of those things, a note taker. I'd never heard of that. I was just told your child has hearing aids. I understood she had a profound loss, but also I understand that nobody had ever explained her audiogram to me. That was when I learned at the workshops with you.
Yeah.
I actually think things are a lot different today. But the fact that she struggled with these hearing aids, she'd come back from college and she'd be absolutely exhausted. And I thought she was lazy. Where you taught me it's listening fatigue.
Mm.
And I see that it is so real. And I often wonder, you know, with parents, with children, with hearing loss, do they understand this, Barney? And that's why I always thought your workshops were so important, not only for the person with hearing loss, but for the family. So the college was difficult.
May I just ask, even today, you work for the National Council often for Persons with Disabilities, and Candace, as she said, as well, you are fighting the issues of inaccessibility. But even today, we find that people think, tertiary education, for example, that a hearing aid is good enough. The person will be able to get all the information, and that's not true. There is assistive devices and support needed.
Are assistive devices, but do people know about these assistive devices? You know, and I didn't. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
I know there was one, not like a loop system, like a... FM system. But really, that was not accessible, especially for Candace in college.
That's correct.
And she struggled. And it took, she got her certificate and her diploma in early childhood development, which was, we were very proud of her for doing that.
Very proud of her. You hear your mom say they were very proud of you. But you still had, at that time, went through this process. What was your experience, Candace, as a young woman with a hearing disability, get onto a campus or get interaction with students in your tertiary interaction or communication? What is your experience? What was it?
Well, like my mom said, it was a struggle when I was in college. I sometimes had a lecturer that tends to forget that I have to lip read, so they would like turn away and carry on writing on the board. And then I eventually had to resort to students explaining my situation, and they were happy to share their notes with me, because I assured them that I would not be using their notes to gain for my activities that I had to do, because I felt it was important that everybody has their own work when they get their assignments in.
Yeah, and it's important for parents also to allow children to do what they can, but you want to protect, because we live in an inaccessible society. And then, Michelle, you explain now the issue of the hearing aids and the challenges as far as hearing aids is concerned, and then surely but slowly you get in contact with people, and then the cochlear implant idea was then coming to the fore. Tell us more about that.
One is, when I met you, you still had your hearing aids and you were really, really struggling. And then you had your cochlear implant. When I started working at the National Council, you had your cochlear implant. And I saw the changes it made to you, that you had your life back, basically.
Yeah.
And we then decided to have Candace tested to see if she could have a cochlear implant, which we were very, very grateful for. We were still very nervous, but a very dear friend, Jody, also had a cochlear implant just before Candace. And we could see how I always explained Jody as a butterfly that came out of a cocoon, because we saw this child that was so quiet and introverted, and suddenly this cochlear implant just gave her a new lease of life. So Candace was 27, I think, when she had her first implant, and I think it was the best thing that we've ever done. And sometimes I think we should have considered it earlier, but it is what it is. You know, you don't understand, you don't know.
Yeah, and the issue is, we are both cochlear implantees, myself and Candace, and we interact here in the studio with any issue, no streaming systems. We just follow each other and we get all the information that's necessary. And so amazing. Michelle, but it was very difficult to make the decision. Two things. The one is, financially, it's expensive. And secondly, there's people that's not very positive about cochlear implants.
Right. People are not very positive about cochlear implants. You hear all the terrible stories. But first of all, financially, we were lucky. We were able to afford it.
Yeah.
But what you also don't realize is the cost of just the insurance, the cost of disability in general. I think people do not understand the cost of having a disability. If I just look at the cochlear implant, just to insure it, it's like 800 rand a month to insure both. But we've done it, and it doesn't matter. We just carry on because we have to, because it's life-changing, and it bettered Candace's life. It gave her a better chance at life of listening. And I saw the difference that it made when she was interacting with people. She was still living at home at the time, and we could see that she was listening to the radio.
Yeah, very important.
So important that she could actually hear, not everything, but she would hear the most important things on the radio. And Candace has always loved music. Yeah. And I think that was the biggest plus, that she could now listen to the music and that.
Now let's hear what you say, Candace, for getting your freedom back, your communication back to a large extent. Tell us, how did you feel taking that jump from a hearing aid user, almost profoundly deaf, to the cochlear implant? What's your experience?
Okay, first of all, I was a little skeptical about having a cochlear implant. And then after spoken to someone else that was close to us and getting an understanding of how it works and everything, I've decided, you know what, let's just try it and see where it takes me. And then with the first switch on, it was very frustrating for 2 weeks because all the noise I hear was very uncomfortable, and it was frustrating for 2 weeks. And also I had to do speech rehabilitation, and I had to try and listen to everybody at once, and it was very robotic. But it took about 6 months, and then about 18 months later, I started to opt for the second one with your encouragement, Fonny. Yeah, and also I sort of had a message from God that just told me, you know what, if God can protect me, it's God's will, whether it's successful or not successful, and I just went with it.
You have a bilateral hearing. You were born like that.
Yes.
So I'm not getting the assistive devices. Yes, Michelle, and that makes also a difference, so unilateral to bilateral. What is your recommendation to people thinking, my child, maybe they're listening, my child can be considered for a cochlear implant, and what is your advice to parents at the moment?
Fadi, I can only see what it's done for Candace and you and Jody, and I would, if you can afford it and you can get the help and the funds to do it, just do it.
Just go for it.
It is life-changing, and Candace's life would have been so different had we done it earlier, before she went to college.
Now that's the story of Candace Marais, a person with a hearing disability, and her mother, Michelle Tongs. Thank you for sharing your story today. And during March, the emphasis is very strong on hearing loss in our country and worldwide. And it's a privilege to have you here to share your life story. It's time for music now. And then when we come back, we can chat about a lot of things like daily work, the daily activities, and participate in work situation on a daily basis. Stay tuned. Welcome back. My two guests are Candace Marais and Michelle Tongs. The topic today is hearing impairment, hearing disability, and we listen now to your challenges you had as a child and at college, and now you are employed. But before we get there, you're a mother. Tell us more about that. And what is grandmother's opinion about that? Please tell us.
Okay, I definitely had some challenges there as a mother, because I would not have my hearing devices on, for argument's sake. If I have to go to the shower, I had to first check and make sure my baby was fine, not crying. So it was very frustrating because it was like in and out, just check and then dry and everything. Then I was very fortunate to have a baby monitor. It was given to me as a gift, and I used that to my benefit. So it was a Buffy's cot, and then it would be connected to my bedside alarm clock. So when the baby would cry, it would activate the monitor, which then signals straight to the bed clock, and then the bed clock would vibrate through this little pad, which is sitting under the bed mattress, and then I would know, okay, I must go and tend to the baby.
Yeah, because you're not always wearing your hearing aids or your cochlear implants.
Yes.
So you take it off at night, you sleep, not sleeping with your cochlear implants.
Well, unfortunately, I can't really sleep with them, because then it would be very uncomfortable.
That's of course. So that is why you must also position yourself in terms of the access to information and communication, as you explained to us now. Just a little bit of statistic before I give you opportunity to respond. Michelle, 60% of all persons with hearing loss are in work, at work or in training. 60%. But the sad thing is only 16% of patients screening or went through a screening process to identify that hearing loss. And this is a challenge. 20% of people at the end of the day receive cochlear implants or hearing devices at the end. So 80% of people is not having devices or hearing devices or cochlear implants. And this is the mirror today that we must understand. And the last thing is research shows that almost 60% of people with hearing loss, that hearing loss, the disabling conditions can be overcome by early identification, as you earlier said, as well as by the necessary devices. But getting back to your status as a grandmother.
Funny, that was very worrying because we wondered how, if her husband left early for work, how she was going to cope. So she was lucky. She was very lucky. She was very blessed to have the monitor. But, you know, I remember going with Candace to see the gynecologist when she was pregnant, because she asked me to come with just in case she never heard. I used to go with her to the clinics. Her mom-in-law used to go with her if I wasn't available. And still today, when Jace goes to the pediatrician, I go with, because as Candace says, sometimes she's so nervous that she has left something out or didn't hear. One of the incidents she's had is when I wasn't available to go with her, and she had to take Jace when he was about 3 to a new doctor. And as you know, Fonny, as a hearing impaired person, you make sure that you've heard correctly, so you repeat what the person has said.
Important.
It's so important just to make sure. And Candace started repeating to the doctor what he had said and about the medication, and he said to her, next time I speak to you, don't look out the window, listen. And
wow.
If a medical
what a blah.
Person, in a medical professional could say that, then I wonder how many people really understand hearing loss.
Yeah, that is what we... That's so important what you do.
And that is what our daily challenge is.
To sensitize people about these type of challenges that you have. Candace, a question to you is virtual meetings.
Yes.
How do you cope?
Well, I just make sure I have my mini mic, because I've got cochlear implants now, so I just connect it to the computer. I always make sure my captions are on, and just before the meeting starts, I make sure everybody else's captions are on.
Oh, so that's important for the listeners to understand, that you use both hearing as well as captions activated on your screen. And then you cope in meetings, you participate in meetings?
Yeah, then I cope perfectly. And if I have a question or something, it's like sometimes I would have a meeting with my mom and with Erica, I would say, sorry, I just want to check quickly what you said about the following, and then they will quickly recap on that, and then I know, okay, I'm clued up.
What I do during training, when I do training sessions, I ask people to write their questions in the chat box. There's also a chat box.
Okay.
And you can write the chat box, you can use the chat box, and then I read afterwards the questions, just to help me as a cochlear implantee not to miss questions during my presentation of my training sessions. And Michelle, just think about it now. What the people said that you mentioned earlier about the potential of your child at that time, and you see her as a person that work independently. What does it feel?
Finally, I just thank God each day that we didn't believe that we just carried on. Just carrying on and educating her to the best of her ability, our ability. We let her do extra classes. We let her do extra computer classes. And we realized that it was difficult for Candace working in the early childhood development in preschools and in the creches because of the noise.
Yes, the background noise.
The background noise. But I see now her ability on the computer, on social media. Yeah. So things have really changed, and we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, the combination of sound, the combination of text, in combination with body language, that's the way we navigate through this process and the challenges. Candace, in church? Do you find difficulties in church? I find it very difficult sometimes in church.
Yes, it is very frustrating not being able to listen to the sermon. So all my life growing up, I never really attended the church. Not because I don't want to go to church. I would like to. So I got to the point where I would make it a special occasion to go to church, like for Easter Sunday or like for Christmas Day, just special occasions only. And then I will like try my best to listen as hard as I can. But as you know, really, with the listening fatigue, it really does drain you, even with the cochlear implants as well.
Yeah, and your mother becomes the interpreter as well, a lip reader, a lip speaker. She's a lip reader, you're a lip speaker.
Yes.
And you must take over the conversation. If you sit in a gathering and you see your child is missing out, mother, it's not easy, Michelle. To keep quiet, not jumping in?
No, it's very difficult. Just in general conversation, if there's a lot of people, even with a cochlear implant, Candace is fine on a one-on-one.
Yeah.
But I think when it's in a noisy environment like a restaurant, there is a difficulty, and she will turn to one of us and ask what was said, etc. And it's sad because I think that many people think that you're antisocial if you have a hearing loss. But it's not. It's because you can't cope in the situation. And I know in church, the church I go to has a very good speaker system. But I was sitting next to an elderly lady a few weeks ago, and she asked, what did he say? Even although the scriptures and everything are on the screen, it's difficult to follow the sermon.
So your message, Candace, to all the institutions, be more accessible.
Yes. I would like the churches to be at least accessible, because as my mom said, the one church that she goes to is my mom's friend Jeannie's church, and I really love that church, and I really wanted to be looped. I love going there.
But to have a loop system that induces sound directly in the cochlear implants or the hearing aid devices, to have only one loop system in the southern suburbs where I live is not enough.
But funny, you know, we've sent out so many emails. I think Candace got about 500 churches on our database. And we've had very little response. And we send them all the information about raising awareness that the hearing aid is not sufficient in the church for people with a hearing loss to follow. And you also understand the statistics over the age of 65, how many of those people have lost their hearing?
Almost two in three over the age of 70.
And how many people have we spoken to and they said they've just given up?
They're just not going
to church. We see it every day, Fani, in our work, the inquiries we get.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing this, and especially here at Cape Pulpit, because our focus is here, of course, to promote accessibility of churches. So we'll give your contact particulars after the end of our discussion, so that people can come forward and ask you about all the wonderful facilities that's available, loop systems, FM systems, how you address acoustics in church, how you become more accessible as the pastor in a church, how you rely on visual aids, how you use your overhead projectors and your PC on screens. There's so many things that people can change and then help us coming from the sideline back to the mainstream. Michelle, Candace, it's so amazing to listen to you too, the lived experience that you have. Something wrong to having a disability. There's something wrong with the society that's not accessible. Is that what you believe?
That is so true, Fani. The environment is not accessible.
And that must be addressed, and it can be addressed.
Yes.
So your contact particulars will tell people how to get access to information and communication at work, in church. They must just take the first step coming forward. There's a lot of devices and technology that people can use. It's not necessarily expensive. Candace, what are you telling to other young women, mothers with a hearing disability? They must stay positive and take the opportunities.
I fully agree with that. I want all the moms that have a hearing disability to please be positive, stay strong, and just do everything you can. If you need help, don't be afraid to ask. Just ask for help. Find the help that you can get.
And you're available to interact with them via WhatsApp to guide them?
By all means, they are more than welcome to contact me by any means necessary.
And where they contact you as the National Council of and for Persons with Disabilities, your employer, but also in a personal capacity, they can make contact with you for guidance how to interact, what is the best ways to overcome the barriers. So Candace, now we're going to give you all contact details before we say goodbye. Michelle, from the National Council side, what would be your message to the broader society in general?
We have so much information, Fani. Over the past few years, we have put together amazing, reasonable accommodations for everybody, for the person with the hearing loss, for the employee, for the churches, for theaters. We have so much information. I mean, they can just contact us, and we are more than willing to share, to have a virtual meeting, to visit them, and that's what we're here to raise awareness.
And a person can be a deaf person, and we can still communicate with him on a platform. We prefer captions. Google Chrome
captions.
It works wonderful. There's many accessible platforms like Windows 11. The captions is excellent. We have Chrome captions. Yep. We have videos that caption on YouTube. So there's so many devices and technology available, because it's the barriers that disable people. Now, what is the barriers? Technology that's not there, devices that's not available, or people not informed about the devices. There is judgments that people are not prepared to make in their workplace environment, in churches, and also small little modifications that people can take and do to be more accessible. I know the National Council go out and do access assessments. So if you have any questions about accessible buildings and businesses, please send an email to Michelle. So Michelle, where can they find you?
At Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, at ncpd.org.za.
Candace, where can they find you?
Candace, C-A-N-D-I-C-E, at ncpd.org.za.
Funny, if I must just say, we'd also like persons with hearing loss and their families to get together and see the projects that we are doing, especially captions on TV, on personal, the speeches by the president, which so many people are left out on because there's no captions, and all the other projects that we have, early detection of hearing loss. So please contact us.
And they can find that on our website, the National Council's website.
All on the website.
ncpd.org. That's the worldwide
web. Plenty of blogs written by Fani.
Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your story as a mother, and Candace, your lived experience as a woman with a hearing disability, and how you take the challenges with passion every day. I honor you too for the input that you make in my life as well, and the community outside in the broader South Africa. There are approximately 364,000 people with a hearing disability that's not aided, in other words, that do not have any hearing devices in the Western Cape province. We can be the difference. My email address is fani.dt@mweb.co.za.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.